Where were we supposed to get to? Where did you start?
We're going to see.
You'll find out. It will be
revealed. How far we get to? We try to get to Rabba. Starting from. That's what you got to Rabba's shot? Perfect. The last Rabba, we'll try to get up to Rabba's shot today. Finish with Nathan, so I get up to Rabba. Fine, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Hashem, Nasav, Nasliach. Everybody,
please take your seat.
So Baruch Hashem, I'm holding you with Kutei Eitzos. We're in the middle of Emes Emuna. Letter Hey. A person could only come to the emes, to the truth, through being close to true tzaddikim. But now, what does it mean to be close to them? The yelach b'derech atzasam. A person has to also go in there, follow the heed to their advice that they give us. And not veer right or left from their words. Whatever they say, we try to do as best as we can. So through this truth, connect with tzaddikei emes, nachuk by emes, that's the truth is engraved into that person. So by us connecting to that tzaddikei emes, we're connecting with them, we're getting the emes from them. By following their advice, that's how we etch and engrave emes into ourselves. Bezerech lemuna, once a person has emes, b'chulu et sacha kanal, we said earlier, once a person is looking for the truth, you'll come to emuna. B'chein also, a person has to distance themselves. We have to try to distance ourselves from the opposers and people who go against and argue on the tzaddik. Now, how we zeichel this? How do we merit to follow the advice of the tzaddik and to move away from the advice of the rishayim? We merit it through the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's what we merit to be zeichel to follow the tzaddik emes and to get away from the misnagdim. Shubachina shmir miniyav, which is the aspect, tzitzis we know is the aspect of being protected from taivas niyav. Shubachina asas rishon, which that's the aspect of the advice rishon. The zeichel tikkun abris, that we can merit tikkun abris, shubachina is eitzah shel tzaddik, which is the aspect of eitzah tzaddik. Letter vav. Al yidei shemisgal v'shemisfal v'kayach. Through this, that a person davens with strength, they put the power, they put effort into davening, into prayer. They put all their effort, all their powers, but into the letters, into the words of the davening. Through this, a person could merit faith. Now we're in Shmiras Halacha Parak Hey, right? It's still pretty much the beginning of Parak Hey. So we can see the Sefer Amadach. So the pasuk says in the Varim Parak of Dalet Pasuk Ches. What does it say? He shamer benegat saras. Be careful and don't get saras. How do you be careful not to get saras? Chsid basfer. What does the pasuk right after it say? Pasuk test, the next pasuk. It says, Zachar asher asa el Hashem elokecha le Miriam. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam that he gave her saras. So the Sefri, the Medrash asks, what's the connection? What's the connection between speaking about, don't be careful, don't get saras? And speaking about, remember what happened with Miriam. Elam Alam is coming to teach us. Shaloi Necha Ella Alashin Hara. Miriam got punished for speaking Lashin Hara. And that's why she got Saras. And so the Sefri said about Lezvarim Kavachar, isn't it a Kavachar? Ma Miriam Shaloi Tibra Ella Bachia Katamena. Miriam only spoke about who? Spoke about her younger brother, who's smaller than her Aaron Akai. Still Nancha, still she got punished. Hamadabar Mishagalu Imenu. Al Akas Kama Kama. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara, someone who's greater than them, all the more so they'll get punished. Sabar Akas says another pshat. Uma Miriam Kshidibra. Lashama Isa Shum Beriya. When Miriam spoke, no one heard her. That's the message says. No one heard her speaking. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bulvat. Kesha like Silva Yishma Hashem Hashemur. Kach mentioned, still she got punished. Habadabar begnus chavir berabim, someone who speaks against a friend in public al achas kama makam. So we're saying, we can learn from Miriam, if Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a younger brother, smaller than her, it says, still she got punished. All the more so how we have to be careful not to speak about people greater than us. Right? And Miriam, who spoke in private, right, and still she got punished. all the more so for us if we speak Lashon Hara in public, how great the punishment is. Hashem should save us from Lashon Hara. Baruch Hashem. Now we're holding now ourselves based at base of an Aleph. So we're going to start the Gemara from Omi Amar Rav Nachman, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 10 lines to the bottom. Just let's go back a minute to figure out what happened over here, to remember what's going on over here. We have our Mishnah. What's the first case in the Mishnah? Abeya Shanal the Biyamtuf. What did the Mishnah say? What did the Mishnah say? Abeya that was born on Yom Tov. What did the Mishnah say? Abeya.
Who was born on
Yom Tov. And Shabbat says?
Says you can eat it.
Priscilla says,
don't eat.
Fine. Bishama could, so egg that was born on Yom Tov. Bishama says, eat it. Priscilla says, don't eat. Fine. Come to the Gemara and ask Rabbi, what's your case? I don't understand what your case is. Right? What's your scenario here? What's your scenario? What's this case talking about? Right? Is it a case of a chicken that was, you were planning on eating, so it shouldn't be mukta? Or a chicken that you're planning on, it was planning on you laying eggs. Kadr Rav Nachman says, what's the pshat? What did Rav Nachman say the pshat is?
Everyone
holds it, it's an egg laying chicken. Now, both referring to a case where it's an egg laying chicken, right? And therefore, we have the issue of mukta. So, what's the machlaikis between Beishami and Beishila? So, what's the machlaikis between Beishami and Beishila?
You eat or not eat it.
You eat or not eat it. What's the pshat in the machlekes? Rav Baruch, what's the pshat in Beishama? Beishama, he says, you,
that he doesn't hold by Moksa.
Oh.
He has a narrow view of Moksa.
Oh, Beishama has a narrow view of Moksa like Rav Shimon. Felt like Rav Shimon. So this problem, there's no issue of Moksa, even though you didn't have in mind to eat this chicken. The chicken is not Moksa. And the egg was part of the chicken, so you can eat the egg, it's not Moksa. But Benio, what does Beishila hold? Beishila holds.
They're both Moksa.
There is Moksa. He'll look at Rehuda, there is an issue of Moksa. So therefore, they're both Moksa. The chicken and the egg are both going to be mukta. Good, fine. That's all very nice. The same Beishamai is going according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, that the famous sheet of Rav Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos that he holds is no issue of this type of mukta. And Beishil says no, there is an issue of mukta. Therefore, you can't eat the egg. You can't touch the egg, but you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov. Fine. Comes the Gemara and asks, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi. And does Rav Nachman say like this? Does he say that Beishamai is like Rav Shimon? And Beis Hillel is holding like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. For Hatanan, but we learned in a Mishnah in Shabbat the Shabbos, Beis Shammai Omer, Beis Shammai says, Magbihin me'al ha'shochon atamas uklipin. You're allowed to lift from the table on Shabbos the bones and the shells which seem to be mukta, even though you have no use for these bones of your chicken bone or your meat bone after you finish eating, and your shells, your walnut shells, you have no use for them. Still, you're allowed to pick them up. Seemingly, Beishami is going like, who's Beishami going like? He holds you allowed to touch your mukta.
Like a Rav
Shimon. Yes, so Beishami right now is going to Rav Shimon. Seems like it's going to Rav Shimon. Like Rav Shimon, Shulchan, so it's a klipit. Beishami, what does Beishami say? Mesalik is a tavla kula. You're not allowed to touch the klipas. You have to remove the tablecloth, the top of the table. Umnar, shake it off. Why do you have to shake it off? Why can't you just remove that? Because he holds like it's muksa. He holds a kribihuda. Fine, he holds a kribihuda and it's muksa. So this would have been fine. This would match up perfectly with our Mishnah. The Sham is Rav Shimon and Beisel is Rav Yehuda. Good? Fine. But comes Rav Nachman and says over here, no. Amar Rav Nachman comes Rav Nachman and says, Anu ein lanu, there's only to us, our Mestera, our teaching, what we have is that Beisham is like Rav Yehuda. That Beisham, this Mishnah, really holds like Rav Yehuda, who holds you not allowed to touch them. You have to shake it off, all these shells. But Beis Hillel, Rav Shimon, Beis Hillel is going to be like Rav Shimon, who holds there's no mukta. So which right now comes out, we have a problem. So Rav Nachman is contradicting himself from our Mishnah, the way he explained our Mishnah, the way he's explained the Mishnah in Shabbos. Right? Why? In our Mishnah, what did Rav Nachman say? Beishama is like Rav Shimon. It sounds like Rav Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Over there by Hilchos Shabbos, what's he telling me? He's telling me the opposite. He's telling me that Beishama is like Rav Yehuda. It sounds like Rav Shimon. between the contradiction of Reb Nachman. So come Reb Nachman and says it's not a problem. There's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a difference. I'm going to Reb Nachman. Gabe Shabbos, the Sussam Lantana Krips. The Gabe Shabbos. Regarding Shabbos, the Sussam Lantana. The Tana closed it up, meaning he did not tell us who the Shita was. And he just said the Mishnah, Kerib Shimon. Therefore, he's going to say, therefore, I want to say Beis Hillel is like Reb Shimon. Meaning, basically, what's he trying to say? Reb Nachman was saying, it's not my fault. I wasn't the one who made this difference between the Shabbos and Yom Tov. You know whose fault it is? It's Reb Yehuda Hanasi's fault. Why is Reb Yehuda Hanasi's fault? He made the Stam Mishnah. We have a rule. Whenever you have a Mishnah without an author, the halacha is like that Mishnah. Like Rashi didn't explain to us on Omer Beis. Right? Why? Why is halacha like that Mishnah? The Reb Yehuda Hanasi, he didn't write a name. The reason why he didn't write a name in the Mishnah was so you should know the halacha is like this Mishnah.
That's what Rashi tells you.
Rashi
tells
me.
He's telling you that they don't want to create a bachlokas of some sort.
He doesn't want you to think. He doesn't want you to think that there's an argument. He wants you to just think there's one cheetah and this is the main cheetah and go with it.
So there's no dispute.
He wants to make it, the Reb Yehuda Hanasi wants to make as if there's no dispute. Correct. He's trying to show it to us because that's what matters to us, la halacha. The cheetah that we're going to go with, halacha is going to pass it. So what's Reb Nachman saying? Basically, what's he going to tell me? By Hilchas Yamta, by Hilchas Shabbos, Reb Yehuda Hanasi told me it's not Mishnah. Like Reb Shimon, there's no muktzah. So today I'll tell you, there's no muktzah. By Hilchas Yom Tov, Yehuda Hanasi made a star Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, there is muktzah. So there is muktzah. So I'm just coming off of the star Mishnahs. Also, we also have another rule. Halacha is always like, Beisham or Beisila. Who's Halacha always like? We hold this like Beisila. So Rabbi Nasa, they have to line up, has to match up. If you're telling me that the Hilchas Shabbos, the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, there's no muktzah, I also have to tell you, Beis Hillel holds by Shabbos. There's no muktzah. Right? They have to match up. And by Yom Tov, if you tell me the Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, there is muktzah. I have to tell you, Beis Hillel will have to hold that there is muktzah. So basically, Reb Nachman was saying, sure, I'm making a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it's not my fault. It's because of Rabbi Yehuda, not because I have a rule we hold like a Stam Mishnah, and we have a rule that we hold like Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel has to match up with a Stam Mishnah. That's where I'm coming from. So let's see the Gemara inside. I'm going to Reb Nachman. I'm not going to say two. Gabi Shabbos, regarding Shabbos, the Sasa Lantana Grip Shimin, the Tana closed up, the Stam Mishnah, he just didn't tell us a name, and the Mishnah was like Grip Shimin. The Tana, like we learned in the Mishnah, where do we see a Stam Mishnah like Grip Shimin? Hilchas Shabbos, there's no Maksa. So what is this Mishnah saying? Mechavchim asad the Luin Lefnea Behema. You have to chop up and feed the Luin like these melons, these gourds, in front of the animal on Shabbos, right? And Rashi tells us, let's see Rashi right away, Mechatzin the Luin. What does Rashi say? What are we taking? You're chopping it. You're not chopping it off the tree or wherever it was growing from. Rashi says right away, Tlushin. You're allowed to chop up the ones that are already disconnected. Well, if you have in front of the animal, and what should be the issue? So what's the problem? You're taking your squash and chopping it up and feeding it to the animal. What should be the problem? What's the chiddush? That it's mutter. But we don't tell you tircha de la tarichu. We don't tell you that this is an unnecessary bother. Right? You can say, just give the thing, throw the whole thing to the animal, let him eat it. What are you bothering? Feed him grass. Say no. You're allowed to chop up the food for the animal on Shabbos. That's halacha number one in Mishnah. Which is not so connected to Hilchas Muktzah. It's just as it says, since they're both referring to the lashon meschatchin, that's why the Mishnah brings both of these cases. Because we're saying like you're chopping up the loom, and the next case is you usually try to chop up the nevela, the dead carcass, before you feed it to the animal. That's the connection between the first and second case of the Mishnah. But so the first case is not regarding Muktzah. The first case in this Mishnah. What is the second case in the Mishnah? We're saying you're also allowed to throw the dead animal, the dead carcass, chop it up and throw it in front of your animal. So who is this Mishnah like? This Mishnah is like Rav Shimon. Because this dead animal is really Muktzah. Why is it Muktzah? Is it dead?
It died on Shabbos. Oh. And you couldn't designate
anything beforehand. Oh. It died on Shabbos. So you have this animal. That's what Rashi Shabbos in the Mishnah says. This animal was fit for human consumption. Obviously, after you shucked it on Arab Shabbos. But during Minash Mashah, this animal is still alive, right? Mm-hmm. Was not yet animal food. It was a live animal. Could have been human food. Once you shucked it, could have been human. during Minas Shemashim, it still was alive. It died during Shabbos. It's almost like a nightlight. So now it turned into animal food. Right? It turns into animal food now. So it changes that. In my mind, I was planning on it being people food. It was a nice fat cow. So since it changed on Shabbos, you shouldn't be, if you have a problem with mukta, you shouldn't be allowed to feed your animal. You shouldn't be allowed to touch it. What does Mishnah say? You can't. The other Mishnah must be Rav Shimon, who also has no issue of mukta. Go, that's the Rashi. That's an available fnei klavin. Like 10 lines in the bottom of Rashi. Fa'afal pisha disabel v'shabbos. Even though it became available on Shabbos, this Mishnah is saying you're still allowed to feed the animal. That's the Bein HaShmashas, because during Bein HaShmashas, lo'aisa emedes la'achilas klavin. It was not in a state to be dog food. And afilu hachi. And even so, shari, it's still mutter, even though it should be muktash, it's still mutter to feed your dog. Must be. The likes law muktah b'shabbos. This mishnah is like Rav Shimon. There's no issue of muktah. Even though you didn't have in mind for this, you didn't have in mind to feed the dog. It was supposed to be people food. Now, there's no issue of muktah. You can still feed the dog. So, Kadr ibn Nachman says, I have a stop mishnah in Hilchos Shabbos like Rav Shimon that says there's no issue of muktah. So let's see Rashi first. Rashi explains to us, Hilchah, therefore, Magbin Me'al HaShulchan, we have the other Mishnah in Hilchah Shabbos, which said you're allowed to lift the bones off the table, and I'm not worried about Muktzah. The Ma'ariv Shabbos Shabbos speaking about Shabbos. Mukav Beisil, I would want to establish that that's Beisil. Then they were that he should say, Rav Shimon, I want Beisil to match up with Rav Shimon. I want the Stam Mishnah, which he holds Allah, is like the Stam Mishnah, like Rav Shimon. I want Beisil also to match up with Rav Shimon. Why? Kihechi, so like this. Why tiksi, you shouldn't question Hilchasa one halacha on another halacha. Why? The Kaibalan has established us, we know the rule is one rule we have is halacha kastam mishnah. The halacha is always like kastam mishnah. The Kaibalan, it's also established to us halacha kibesil, the halacha is like Beisil. So if I don't want to get in a mess, I better say that Beisil holds like Rav Shimon. Since I have one stam mishnah that goes like Beisil, since I have established the book of Shimon, and that's the halacha, therefore I'm forced to say that the other halacha, Beisila, should line up with this. Right? Since I have established the book of Shimon, which means the halacha is the book of Shimon, there's no muktah on Shabbos, therefore I have to also line up the halacha, which is like Beisila, that he is going with the opinion of Rav Shimon that there's no muktah. So what's Rav Nachman trying to tell us? That I was forced to flip the shitas. The original text was, Beis Hillel holds it like Rabbi Yehuda that there's mukta. You're not allowed to touch the bones and the shells. Good? Kadim Nahum says, I have to change that. I have to say that Beis Hillel is really like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because if not, I'm going to get stuck on one halacha onto another halacha. If you're going to tell me that halacha is like Beis Hillel and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, there is mukta on Shabbos, you're going to contradict the fact that we have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon that says there's no muktzah on Shabbos. So Rav Nachman is saying, I was forced to flip the shittas of the Mishnah and say that it still holds like Rav Shimon, there's no muktzah. Is that good?
Well, I thought we were saying the other day, last week, that his Rav Nachman was taught, not, you're saying now after the fact he had to do it to line it up so that the halakha was like Beis Hillel and the Stam Mishnah is like that.
Right.
But I thought you were saying last Wednesday, maybe I misunderstood, that Rav Nachman's version, what was taught to him, it's almost like his Gemara that was in front of him, and the Gemara and the mission that was dealing with the Klipo and so forth, that it was the words Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were
right.
Switched.
So you're right. So it could be his rebellion had to whoever. You're right. It's interesting because it's you're right. You really the Rashi really said like that earlier. If you look at Rashi earlier. But Amar Machan Ein Lanu Anu Ein Lanu, Rashi really said like that. Rashi said, "Beshita Mishnah Zul Fish Rashi Sata Alakar Shemadim Rabbi Saint." So this is what I heard from Rabbi. Beshama Kribi Huda Umechamri is Machmer. Beisil is like Rishon. So originally he was saying that that's what he heard from his Rabbi. You're right. This Rashi says something different. It seems like you're right. It's almost like a steer in Rashi. Look at this Rashi. This Rashi. The end of this Rashi. Rashi said, "Hilchach Magbim Al Shulchan the Ma'ariv Shabbos Mukul Beisil Deyom Kriv Shimon Ki Heichi." In order that you shouldn't ask Hilchasa Hilchasa. So it's a good question. Asking a question is almost a theory in Rashi. Here Rabbi asks this question. Rashi originally said Rav Nachman flipped the shita because that's what he heard from his Rebbein. Now Rashi at the bottom of the Amud is saying the reason why he switched it is because everything has to match up. See the question. Maybe that this is why his Rebbein already switched it. It could be his Rebbein already flipped the shitas. It could be his Rebbein also had the original shita like everyone else, the mixed up shita. But because it has to work out halacha k'stam mishnah and beis hillel, maybe his Rebbein already flipped the shitas. Maybe. But you're asking a good question. It seems to be like a contradiction in Rashi's. Let me see your back off. It's a good question, say. It's a good question. So look into it. Fine. So that's in Hilchos Shabbos. Comes from Nachman it says. Comes from Nachman it says. That's in Hilchos Shabbos. What about Hilchos Yom Tov? Yeah, what about Hilchos Yom Tov? So that was the bottom of the page. Right? We said the bottom of the page. Fine, let's do the next Talmud. Avol. That was all by Hilchos Shabbos. Actually, we can see the bottom Rashi first. Avol Gabi Yom Tov. What is the bottom Rashi? Avol Gabi Yom Tov. The Ashkelon, what do we find? What is the bottom Rashi in the page today? The Ashkelon, we find the Sassam Rebbe, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi made the Stam Mishnah Krib Yehuda. Like Rabbi Yehuda. That's how we made the Stam Mishnah. Let's see over the Gemara and Allah Beis. Beis and Beis. What does Gemara say?
Which Mishnah? The one about the cutting of the gourds and the...
He's saying...
The original Mishnah in our Pricing.
The original Mishnah in our Mishnah. Perfect. The original Mishnah in our Mishnah that said, Beis Shal to be Yom to be Shal, says, Lo Yitaychal, we're going to see that since by Yom to Rebbe had a Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, which the Mishnah we're bringing next. Right, this mission we're going to bring right now is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. The mission we're going to bring right now. Right, Gabi Yom Tov. The Stas of Latan of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see where Beis Rabbi Beis, the second line. The Tanan, we learned it, it was taught in the Mishnah. In Mevak and Eitzim and Akaris, you're not allowed to chop wood from the beams on. In Mevak and Eitzim and Akaris, you're not allowed to chop wood from the beams, which were set aside to build the building. The loy min akarish and nishbra, not from the beams, a beam that broke, which is already part of your house. You're not allowed to chop these up for firewood on Yom Tov, So, why not? What happened? What's the case in here? You have wood, which you're planning on building with it. You have a piece of wood. You're planning on using it to build it. So it's muksa, it's set aside. I think the way I understand it's muksa machos ester, because you're going to build it. Or, you have the beam which is part of your house. It's serving the purpose of being part of your house. Right. Now it broke on Shabbos, the wood broke. So I say, once the wood broke, let me use it for firewood. What's the halacha? What does the Mishnah say?
It's muksa because it wasn't designated beforehand.
Oh, the same it wasn't designated beforehand. It's muksa. And this Mishnah says, what?
Was or wasn't?
Meaning it was designated for a different purpose. Meaning,
right.
So it was not designated for firewood, so I can't use it for firewood. I mean, it has to be designated for my purpose. Almost like
no.
It
has no designation at all.
Also, to muksa. Muksa machmas gufa. Meaning.
So if you're going to use whatever, you have to collect it for yom tov from the woods. You can't just.
Right, exactly. Perfect. Correct. You have to designate it for yom tov. So here, you had wood which is designated for building or the beam of my house. And now suddenly it got broken on yom tov. Say, oh, let me just use it for firewood. I'm freezing cold. Let me just use it for firewood. Halacha is not, because since it wasn't set aside for firewood, it was set aside for a different purpose, considered muksa. So what do we see? This Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda and Hilchos Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's an issue of muksa.
Doesn't he say the beam broke on the Yom Tov?
Yes, that's
so
what.
It broke on the Yom Tov, but then he's dealing with an issue of Nolad, it was created on the Yom Tov.
Yeah, it was a piece of wood.
Did that teach us anything on Nolad?
It's similar to Nolad, it's a similar case to Nolad.
It's like a piece of building material giving birth to a piece of.
Yeah.
Firewood.
Yeah, but it's still Rabbi Yehuda holds Nolad. It also is Muksa. Yeah, it's very similar to a Nolad. You're correct. But might say Rabbi Yehuda holds the Muksa and a Nolad. You're right. Therefore, it's Muksa.
If it wasn't Nolad, if it wasn't an issue of Nolad, maybe there's a sense that you could use the wood for burning.
No, because it says both. It says the beams were set aside.
No, but
it
can't be the I'm saying if it wasn't broken, you're allowed to use Muksa Machmas Isser for a different purpose. That's not Isser, for a Heter purpose. And Yom Tov, you're allowed to burn wood. So I think the only reason why it's not Nolad is because it's Nolad.
It's similar. It's similar. How much you say it's not even muksa or was not muksa?
It's a muksa, but you're allowed to use muksa machmas is for heter purpose if you have nothing else, right? You're allowed to use a hammer to crack a nut on Shabbos.
There's no issue with it.
Well, then you're allowed to use it, but you can't. You can't.
It's set aside for something else, for an Isser purpose. So you can use it for Hetzer purpose. But the reason why you can't in this case is it's split, and then that'd be Nolan. But
you're not using it for different.
It's a little confusing now because if you could burn the beam of wood for before it's split, then you should also be allowed to burn it after it's split.
So you can use it before it's split, man. So should you?
But you're allowed to use Isser thick for Hetzer purpose. You're allowed to burn wood on Yom Tov. Yes, so it means you can burn that for Hetzer purpose if you needed it. So, which means that if it's split, you'd be using it for a purpose which you'd be allowed to use it before it's split. So you should be allowed to still burn it after it's split. Because it wouldn't even be null.
Because you could use it for the original purpose.
You hear what I'm saying?
Here he's saying, but let's see Rashi. Here he's saying,
but what about a monetary loss? The reason you couldn't use it is because of monetary loss. If it is for the construction.
Rashi says you have to mikut diskatzai. Rashi says you don't. Rashi says it doesn't go with you. Rashi says mikut diskatzai, you can't use it. So since you couldn't use the banish washer, you're not allowed to use it now. Rashi wants his muksa banish washer.
No, but it's muksa. You can still use the muksa. You're allowed to use muksa. It's for different
you reasons. You're asking a side question. What's the whole problem with this mishnah? Why can't you use it anyway? Why can't you use it for muksa maksas? You're allowed to consume it. You're allowed to use it.
You're allowed to use it.
It's for muksa maksas. That's why it says muksa maksas. Sorry, kissing. Different kash. Why it's muksa maksas? Let's say it's
muksa. That's even more confusing.
I know. Fine. We'll try to figure it out after which muksa. Yeah, it was muksa maksas. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is saying over here, but let me not question this Rabbi Yom Tov. What did Rashi say? The Afalpit, let's see the top Rashi. That's now, so which Rashi said we heard the Mishnah here? The Stam Mishnah in Hilchas Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yehuda. Now it seems that we have a Stam Mishnah in Hilchas Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yehuda. What does this Mishnah say? The Tana was taught in the Mishnah. Ein Mevakin Eitzel. Let's see the top Rashi. You're not allowed to split wood be Yom Tov on Yom Tov. Right? Loimin Akaris Astur is Dual Hilikab Su. Right? You're not allowed to take from the beans which were set up, this one on top of the other, the karka on the ground. But I met this labinian. Right, this wood was really set aside to build. So you can't use that wood for firewood. Well, let me not curse this from Yom Tov. You're not either allowed to use from the beam that broke on Yom Tov. Even though right now it's standing, that right now you're able to burn it for firewood. Since there had been a shmashos, when Shabbos came in, there was not established for this. It wasn't established for firewood. And so, given this katzoy l'bein hashmashos, once it was set aside during bein hashmashos, it was muksa during bein hashmashos when Shabbos came in. It's katzoy l'kula yom, it becomes muksa for the entire day. So we say this is a muksa, even though right now I want to be installed somewhat like nerlada. I want to use now. It could be firewood. Since when Shabbos came in, you couldn't use. You weren't planning on using it as firewood, right? Therefore, now also you can't use it as considered muksa. Good, considered muksa. Amma, what do we see? Is lan muksa on Yom Tov? Is muksa on Yom Tov? So we see the Stam Mishnah and the Halacha is on Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yehuda. There is muksa. Hilchach. Therefore, Muki Reb Nachman l'masnisin. If Reb Nachman wants to establish our Mishnah, that Arabi Yom Tov is speaking about by Yom Tov, that Beisil like Rabbi Yehuda, that Beisil like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is muksa. Therefore, he explained our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah is referring to a scenario where this chicken was to grow eggs. Umishnah muksa, you have the issue of muksa. So, again, what's Reb Nachman trying to explain to me here? What's it we're trying to explain to me
just
here?
Just as the beans are muksa, the broke on Shabbos, so is the
egg. And just like by Hilchos Yom Tov, in Hilchos Yom Tov, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right? And that's halacha like the Stam Mishnah. Our Mishnah also will interpret Beis Hillel to be like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So this is, so to speak, Reb Nachman's guiding light, why you should explain our Mishnah like this. Good. So we wanted to know, Reb Nachman, where are you coming from? If you're coming from left field, why are you saying our Mishnah? So Rashi is like adding us a little upshot of here. What was our question, Reb Nachman? I switch between Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? So he's basically saying, I didn't switch first of all. It's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi switch. Yehuda Anasi made one Stam Mishnah by Hilchos Shabbos, right? That the halacha is like that there's no muksa like Reb Shimon. And by Yom Tov, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. I just matched up Beis Hillel with that. I want Beis Hillel to work out, be aligned to the Stam Mishnah. Because the halacha is like Stam Mishnah, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. I wanted everything to match up. So I just matched everything up. And therefore, now I understand, I want to say our Mishnah is Beis Hillel. He holds there's no issue. Beis Hillel holds there is the issue of muksa. And that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the reason why you can't eat these eggs is because it's mukta. Good? Fine. However, comes in where it says, why did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi do that? Right? Yeah? What's the Gemara's question now? Why did Rida Nasi make one Stam Mishra like Rabbi Huda and one Stam Mishra like Rabbi Shimon? That's the Gemara's next question. The fourth line, Mechti, let's see. Man Sasmei L'Masitin, who closed the Mishnais? Who made it into a Stam Mishnah? Rebbe. When it says Rebbe, who's Rebbe? Rida Nasi. Who made the Stam Mishra? Rabbi Huda Nasi. And he told us the halacha. So Maishna, what's the difference with Shabbos? By halacha Shabbos, this tassim like Reb Shimon. Then he said his tassim like Reb Shimon. Maishna be yomtiv, and why be yomtiv? Tassim like Reb Yehuda. He's making his tassim and he's making the halacha like Reb Yehuda that there is mukta. So what's Rashi with that nasi? Why is he switching? Let's see Rashi. Man tassim like Masnisin. Rebbe, who said the Reb Mishnah? Rebbe was the one who ordered the Mishnah. And when he saw the words of one chacham, the yishru beinim, and it was straight in his eyes, he held the halacha should be like him. Shan an stam, he taught it stam, without mentioning any names. V'loy hizker, and he did not mention shame amrei, the one who said it aleim on them. He didn't mention the name. Kadei in order, shelo yushnuyin mipi yachin. He doesn't want it to be taught over and learned in the name of a single shita, in the name of a yachin. So therefore, and he made it seem ki'il was if Nishnu was taught by Pia Baru from the majority. The Yasu Kumar said, therefore you should like him. Anyway, why did Rebbe make a Stam Mishnah? Why did he write a Stam Mishnah? Why didn't he just tell us it's Reb Shimon or Reb Yehuda?
Because it could be challenged.
Because it can't really be challenged, because he's telling who the halacha is like. You might get confused. You might think it could be challenged. And you might think the halacha is not like this Mishnah. Since it's only a single opinion, the halacha is not like this Mishnah. Come review that Nasi, and specifically it doesn't tell you, it like almost tricks you, that you think there's the majority. So you should be convinced that Allah is like this Mishnah.
So he's the number one authority?
In his time, yeah, he was the Paisan. Before they were in the times of Mishnah, when he collected everything until his day.
So after Rabban Matas doesn't come out because he hides the fact that it's not Rabban?
No, I mean, it was because he was doing it for halachic purposes, so we should do the right thing. Really, we'll see, he's the Paisan, he's passing. You're right, you don't always go with Yaakov Ram or Lachak Ram. He came later, he saw all the shitas, we learned about it. He saw all the shitas until then, he saw one who's clearer than the other, and he's going to pass like that shita. You're right, you don't necessarily say Yaakov Ram or Lachak Ram. Always.
So if you had a Stam Mishnah, a Tanakhama was not mentioned, and then saying the Mishnah, and the Chachamim Omri, even then the Chachamim say something, we go like the Tanakhama, the Stam Mishnah, is that what we're saying?
We always go with something.
That's a good question. If it's a stam ba'achakach machlekes, that's not really a stam mishnah. A stam mishnah we're talking about is nothing else. It was just a stam, just one shita and no name. We didn't bring chacham. You're talking about more complicated. You're talking about a stam ba'achakach machlekes. There it's different. Here we're talking about stam. There's a question how it works. Here just stam, nothing like this mishnah over here. There's no chacham on my own. Inu ba'achak etz benakaros. Because and now my question is for Yomtiv. Period. We didn't bring any other argument. Even the Chacham we didn't bring argument. It's a little different when it's a Stam Ba'achakach Machlekes. I mean, our Mishnah is here that we brought these Stam, or just a Stam Mishnah on their own.
Well, there is a Machlekes in this Mishnah.
Which Mishnah?
Our Mishnah and Yomtiv. Our Mishnah. Beis Shammai says one thing. Beis Hillel says
another. No, our Mishnah is not a Stam Mishnah. The Mishnahs over there are Stam Mishnahs. The Mishnah over there and Shabbos and over there are Stam Mishnah. Over there we're going to rule the Stam Mishnah. By us we're going to really go you pass like Beis Hillel.
Nice.
So our Mishnahs, okay, at least our Gemara, there are questions trying to understand that, but Pasha, let's assume for now these are Stam Mishnahs. Yeah? So it's a Stam Mishnah, it's not a Stam Ba'achakach Machlekes. It's different. You have Stam, you didn't mention the name, and then you bring a Machlekes, it's different. Stam is only Stam. You didn't, like these Mishnahs here, you didn't bring any other. If you look at the Mishnahs, there's nothing else after. This Mishnah also look at Shabbos. There's no chachamim afterwards. Just the stam. Halacha is it like that, stam mishnah. Good? Fine. So we're saying, first, so Rashi already gave us, we had this Rashi in Makos also, right? That something, why did, right, we said this in Makos also.
Yeah.
That the point is that a stam mishnah, why, the halacha is like a stam, that the reason why he didn't mention the name, it's good for the show to teach the review that Nasi wanted to teach the halacha is like this shita. That's why he didn't tell us the name. That's why he made it a stam. He kept the name a secret. So we shouldn't think the halacha is not like him, it could confuse. He said this is the halacha, and therefore I'm just telling you to without any name. You should think it's the right, you should think it's everybody. Just take it. Fine.
Then why doesn't every case, every Mishnah have a stam Mishnah? Because this is the halacha, this is the halacha, this is the halacha.
That's the Mishnah. Why he didn't write that halacha, that's why he brought it.
He made the whole Mishnah.
He ordered the whole Mishnah.
Everything should be from him.
All the Mishnah?
Yeah, all six.
He said
all
the
orders of Mishnah.
Does anyone give the Mariah Matilah?
I don't know, but it doesn't make sense. In some cases, yes, some cases, no.
He wouldn't have Mariah.
Maybe they pass it in every case. Or he held the Chacham around the Rav. You know already the Chacham is like the Rav. If the Chacham is like the Chacham, I'll tell you the Chacham. Here's the other side question. It's a different question. Not for now. Why do you have to bring all the Machlekes for? It's a different question. Just tell me what Halacha. It's a different question.
What?
Okay. You want to just be... That's the question.
In the Vua.
Double...
It's a different question. Fine. Let's get through the Gemara now. So why in the world are Rav Yudanasi Paskin? What's Rav Yudanasi Paskin? In Hilchos Shabbos, basically like Rav Shimon, there's no problem with Muktzah. Hilchos Yom Tov, we're being machmir like Rav Yehuda, there is Muktzah. So why did he do that? So let's see. Amri, Shabbos the Chamira. They say Shabbos is just more strict. You're not going to degrade Shabbos. Therefore, Sasam Lan Rav Shimon, we close the Mishnah and we're going to pass in the Halacha like Rav Shimon, the Mekel, who is more lenient. Yom Tov, to kill Yom Tov, which is more lenient, and the Azil Zilzuli Bay, and you're going to come to cheapen and degrade Yom Tov. Sazam on Rabbi Yehuda the Macher, we are going to go like Rabbi Yehuda, who is Macher. Meaning what? What's that Lachos Odes Machal Shabbos on purpose? What's the punishment?
Yeah.
If he does it with Edim and Asra, Skila. Without Edim and Asra, Karis. What's Halacha by Yom Tov? Sons Machal Shabbos with Edim and Asrama, Makos.
Nothing
was shagging. And Makos with his amazing. Right? Right? So what's much more strict? Shabbos is more strict. So review that Nazi Paschal like this. Hilchos Shabbos is so strict already. You're so scared of Hilchos Shabbos. You don't want to transgress Shabbos. So we don't have to give you all the stringencies of Muktzah. Right? We can be lenient to you. Go like Rav Shimon. Right? We can be lenient to you. And just because we're lenient and Hilchos Muktzah, we can tell you, you're not going to come to degrade Shabbos. On the other hand, Yom Tov, if we're lenient on you, and you don't have to keep Hilchos Yom Tov, Hilchos Muktzah, we're afraid you're going to degrade, you're also going to break down your barriers and also be more lenient than Hilchos Yom Tov. So again, we had a question, why do we do that? Nasi, by Shabbos, he's lenient. He also has no Muktzah, like Rav Shimon. By Yom Tov, there is Muktzah like Rav Yehuda. What's Shabbos? He said, by Shabbos, is just so strict. Right, so over there, even though we're easy on you with Muktzah, you're not going to degrade Shabbos. You're afraid of Shabbos, right? But Yom Tov, which is not so strict, we're going to be easy on you with Muktzah. You might come to degrade Yom Tov even more. That's a Rashi lens. What do you say, Rabbi Elbaro?
I mean, why you have to have a Mekel thing? And if you have some, the punishments are so much more strict on Shabbos, it seems like we can allow a lenient position on Muktzah on Shabbos. Well, why? Why do you have to say it? Why can't you say? You could also say, listen, because the punishments are so strict on Shabbos, therefore be more machmir on what books it is, just so you don't come close to that.
Here, tell you smart. Here,
that's what happened. That people were degrading Shabbos and Machal and Shabbos so much that you had to make the decrees.
Fine. Okay. These are really nice and fancy. You're right. Here. I hear a svar the other way. I definitely hear a svar the other way. Rav Yudanasi is looking at this way. I definitely hear, maybe we could look it up after, but I definitely hear a svar the other way. But this is where Rav Yudanasi is going. That since Shabbos, you're so strict on it already, therefore, he's not going to hold off these types of muktah. Fine. But let's see Rashi. Well, Asil is Ozuliba. Say, since Shabbos is so machmer, you're not going to come to cheapen Shabbos. Im mekilin ba chada kula. If we're leading it in one area, meaning this area of muktzah, lo yasi la kuli batvei, you're not going to come to be more lenient. Right? You're not going to come to be more lenient. But by Yom Tov, which already you're lenient, if we give you this leniency of no muktzah, you might come to be more lenient because you're not afraid of muktzah. Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine, let's see the Gemara further. Comes from Nachman and says, what's our case? Our case is a Tana Gailus, which was laying eggs. And it's Mukta. What's the issue of Rishon Beisilel's issue? Mukta. Because we're talking about a case where the chicken was supposed to be an egg layer chicken, and therefore we have an issue of Mukta. Comes from asks a simple question. Why are you talking about the egg? Talk about the chicken. If there's really the issue of Mukta, the chicken is Mukta. Not only the egg is Mukta. You have a chicken, which was set aside to lay eggs, and now you want to eat it. So if you're holding like Rabbi Huda, it's an issue of Mukta. Why are you talking about the egg which has a problem of Nola? Talk about the chicken itself. The chicken itself is Mukta.
And if you knock out the chicken, you're going to knock out Nola. So it's a way to attack this Sfara of Beis Shema. Beis Shema is saying the egg is not Mukta, right?
Right, see, so there's no problem with Nola either, right?
Nola. So if you... So if you disprove the chicken, then you're also taking care of this situation,
Correct, but we're assuming now that the chicken is an issue. Correct. So we're saying, obviously, the chicken is yes, the issue. So why are you talking about the chicken? So am I, okay, then why are you establishing the Tanagos, which is made to delay the eggs, which is Mukta, and Beisilel's issue is Mukta, Ihachi, if so, Adam Mifalgi. On this day, you argue, Bebeitza, why are you arguing the egg? Lifalgu, Tanagos, the machlokes of Beisham Beisilel should be on the chicken itself. So my answer is no. We want to bring out the chiddush of Beisham, that even though the egg is only an issue of Noilad, it's still mutter.
Which
why is that a bigger chiddush than just mutter? Like we said in Amud Aleph, Rashi explained to us, right? If Bishab, right, like remember the Gemara thought even Amud Aleph is such a difference, right? We thought that maybe the chicken, you could tell me is not Mukta, because you thought you might come to eat it, right? Even though it's an egg-laying chicken, you thought you might come to eat it, right? But Noila is even more far away from your mind, that you didn't know that this thing is going to be Leia egg. So that should for sure be Mukta. So we want to bring out the Chiddush of Bishamai, that even the egg, which was Noila, and it was very far removed from your mind, it's still not Mukta. And that's a big chiddush.
Just as proving that the chicken is Mukta supports Rabbi Hillel to his press degree, to his
good. That's why it's yes next. Good. So what I'm saying, maybe we want to show the power of Bishamai, right? That even the egg itself, even though this chicken was set aside to lay eggs, the egg itself is also Mukta. And even there's no issue of Nola, So the Maaseh, if so, we're trying to bring out the power, the strength of Bishamai, showing Bishamai's strength. The Lifel Gumatayna girls, let them argue, let Bishamai still argue in the chicken itself, to show you the strength of Bishamai. The Bemukta Asri, that the chicken itself, which is Mukta, is Asr. And we say, even right, if in Nailad, I can understand why it's Mukta, right? Because it already was far removed from your mind. What about the chicken itself? You knew the whole time in your mind, maybe you might come to Shechet it. Maybe it's still because even that's Mukta. So still don't understand why you're talking about the egg.
Well, this was an egg-laying chicken we set up the case as.
Correct.
So why would that be far removed from your mind? I mean, it's Mukta.
Right, so it's closer to your mind. So maybe it shouldn't be Mukta. If it's Nailad, I can understand why Beis Hillel should say it's Mukta. But if, just because it was an egg-laying chicken, it's still on your mind maybe that you could shecht it. So maybe that shouldn't even be Mukta. So maybe you want to tell me it still holds. No, it is Mukta, the opposite extreme. That it's Mukta because it wasn't on your mind for this specific purpose.
It's going to attack both extremes.
Both extremes, exactly.
Permissiveness or of proving there's
correct.
More.
Correct.
Both extremes.
Right. Meshama was saying maybe we're trying to prove the Chiddush how lenient he is. Even in Noilad, he's still lenient. But he's still saying even though it's just to add the chicken itself, there also he's still strict. Right, you're showing that the so the Maaseh says, we still don't understand why you're talking about the egg. You could have talked about the chicken to bring out Beis Hillel's Chiddush. The Chit, but the Chavtah says, the Chitim. And if you're going to say, Karech Tehet Teira Adiv, you would rather say, bring out the Chiddush of Beis Shammai. Why? Because Beis Shammai is being more lenient. And it's always better to be, and you're stronger if you're lenient. Right? You're stronger if you're able to be lenient. So maybe that's why we wanted to bring out the Chiddush of Beis Shammai, that's why we wanted to talk about an egg. Right? Well, I said, no. The Nivlik B'Tarvayim, You could have very easily said both cases. You could have said like this: Tanegalus Amezagala Beitzin, a Tanegalus which is standing set aside to lay eggs. He who baits also, it and its chick and its eggs. They shame it tell. What's the tell? Shame it even tells don't eat it. Right? So basically, the Mara is still asking why, if the issue is really mukta, why are you focusing on the egg? You should have focused on the chicken. Maybe you're telling you want to bring out the huge chiddush of a shamai, that even on the egg itself, it's still not mukta, which is a huge chiddush. Even though it's melech, it's still not mukta. Bring a chiddush of a sale also. You could have very easily said, that's the place to explain. You could have very easily, in one sentence, brought out both of their chiddushim. Because you said, like the tiny little chicken and its egg should both be, you have machlokes, b'sham b'sil, b'sham says mukta, b'sil says it's not mukta. Now let's see Rashi in this concept of Karach Tehra Adha. I think Mara asked at one point, maybe we want to bring out Beishama because he's lenient. And it's much stronger to bring out the leniency. It's more powerful to be lenient than to be strict. And why is it more powerful to be lenient than to be strict? So let's see Rashi. Tehra Adha, Lay. It's better for him to teach us Karach Dibri HaMater. The strength of the words of the one who is lenient, who is matur, who permits it. Why? He relies on what he heard earlier. Right? He relies on what he heard. He's clear. I heard this from my Rebbe. It's mutter. I'm sure. The inner here, he's not afraid lahatir to make something mutter. So therefore, we should listen to him. So he's being strong. He's the one with the muscles. Avokayecha oisrim, the power of the one who made something usher. Inner, it's not a proof that he's right. Shakol yichal lahatir. Everyone can be machmer. Perhaps like, even something that's mutter, you can be machmer. So it's not a big deal to be strict, right? But it is a big deal to be lenient, and must be if he's being lenient. He heard this from his Rebbein. This is the halachas. Therefore, we should listen to him because he's the one clear in what he's saying. If you look at Taisa also adds another line to this. If you look at Taisa, right? Almost at the bottom of it, what does Taisa say? Pirish HaKutras. This is where he understands Rashi. Because if this is the reason why. The strength of the one who's matter is stronger, is better. Kisha Adam matter, Semer Ashwase. The first one, someone's matter, he's relying on what he heard from his Rebbe. And the Tzarech Lavi Rayul Advara. Taisa adds in these words. He has to bring a proof to his words. So the first one, he's coming from his Rebbe. And only you have to prove yourself. We're not going to listen to you if you just keep making a term saying be lenient. That's the Taisa adds. You have to prove it. Avali Surah Adam Yachal Achal Abloy Time. A person could argue without a. Reason. Fine. Shkeiach. We'll stop over here. This should be machmer. I have a choice where to go. Be machmer. Yeah. Cause I have a question. Which way to go? So you'll tell me. Be machmer. Shkeiach.
The raya. You make a sumra.
Yeah. That's what we do. I don't know which way to go. Be machmer. Yeah. So you don't have to have a raya to be machmer.
That's
so,
why when you make a mistake in your kitchen and you call your rabbi to see, you know, what did I trip up or, you know, did I mess it up? How do I fix it? God forbid if something went wrong. They're always like looking for leniency. They're always asking all these questions and they're trying to find
leniency
to make. Be able for you to fix the problem that you created by possibly changing something up, or was it not trained, or
right.
The contra, or set aside, or pour hot water on it, or whatever.
Exactly.
That's they're looking, you know, they're searching and asking all these questions to try to find a leniency to allow you to not.
Right.
Have to just throw everything out and start over.
Right, very good. Okay, but now we're going to try to chaz. Today, at least, we try to review today's Gemara and try to speak it out by heart. That's
by
today's
heart?
Agenda. Today's Gemara, do we learn? Speak it out by heart.